Hi, I'm Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host Dee Boggetti, and we're Bark Radio.
Hey Terry, another beautiful day here in Central Virginia.
Hot.
A little
It's
bit.
very hot.
Not where we are.
No, the studio's cool originally, but
Woohoo!
outside it's supposed to be almost 100, so I'll pass.
Yikes. Yeah, me too, man. Okay, building to car, car to building.
Exactly.
All right.
So what are we talking about?
Well, I got a really cool piece of information this week. One of Terry's pet projects is the cooling vest project for military working dogs. And through that group, you can put in for to adopt a kennel. This would be a kennel of working military dogs. In this case, they're in Iraq, and I had applied for a kennel a few months ago. Just this week, I found out that I do now have a kennel with three dogs and three handlers. And what's wonderful about this, Terry, is I kind of, with all my dog geek friends, we get to support these three dog teams while they're working so hard over there. And just briefly, what happens is Starline, the great mother of an active duty military
Yeah,
guy,
he's a
right?
helicopter pilot. A lot of times he'll fly the dogs around to different locations.
Oh, how cool is that? Well, she started this project, and so when she allowed me to adopt this kennel, what I learned that I didn't know is the main pieces that she's getting to dog teams over there, the cooling vests, the doggles, the booties, and now the
Mutt muffs.
mutt muffs. Terry, tell them what a mutt muff is.
Well, mutt muffs are basically ear protection for dogs. And I had no idea that it existed until a week or so ago when I was corresponding with another group of folks. We'll talk about in another episode. I think we're going to do an interview with them, but Pilots and Paws. And they're a rescue transport group. But they have developed these ear protection because the planes are noisy.
Well, and this came up with the young lady's name is Molly. She's one of the dog handlers over in Iraq. And in one of her emails, that I got copied on, that was to Starline, she indicated that they have helicopters landing and taking off around the dogs all the time, and they're so loud that they're fearful they're going to make these dogs deaf or definitely injure their hearing. And so she asked if there was anything, and like Terry, I had no flippin' idea there was ear protection for dogs. But there is, and I'm betting that around now, Starline has probably already gotten a package going to these folks over in Iraq with the basics. So now, as an adopter of a kennel, what we get to do is send care packages. Stuff for the dogs, stuff for the handlers. They're not quite ready to give me a list of things they would like because this is all brand new. So we're going to get very creative, me and all my dog geek friends, and we're basically going to try to send them a package a month. And what we'll do is end up blogging this
Yeah.
so folks can see what we're doing, the kinds of things that they really would like to have over there. One of the things I'm going to put in the package, the first package, is that gel, is it, that Jamie used on Caesar
EMT
for
gel.
the EMT gel,
Yeah.
because they've never heard of it, and how cool to have
Oh.
that in case their dogs get cut up.
Cut or on the pads even just from the heat and stuff. Well, they'll have their mutt lugs, hopefully.
Have y'all ever tried to put booties on a dog? I'm telling you, it's not a natural thing. I tried it with Murphy, and he just looked at me and went, "Get these off my feet, Mama." But when the sand is as hot as it is over there, they need that protection. At any rate, just wanted to share with you guys that this is another awesome thing you can do. A, you can support the project by giving donations
Right, through
online.
right, and that's at supportmilitaryworkingdogs.org, and it is tax deductible, and it's all there. Again, it's all there for the troops to try to support these dog handlers and the dogs that support and protect our children and friends.
Absolutely. And so that's one piece of it. But also, if you are interested in adopting a kennel like we have, on their site, there's a place where it says adopt a kennel. Click on it and send an email to Starline, and hopefully you'll be able to do the same thing we're doing. And I think it is a wonderful way, in a little way, for we civilians who are sitting back here at home in our nice, cool, comfortable homes. to support those folks who are over there doing such hard work.
Absolutely. Yep. It's one of my pet projects.
Yep. Go Terry.
So, speaking of cooling vests, I understand you found some cooling pads for the folks that live in hot climates in the U.S.
Well, and anywhere. We will post a link to this website, the name of which escapes me now, but we regular folks can buy both cooling vests, like the military dogs use, and cooling pads. And I know a lot of folks in agility, if they run agility courses outdoors in the summertime, they'll have one of these cool pads back in the shade somewhere, like in the dog's crate. So when the dog goes and lies down, they can get their belly cool. And these pads are awesome. I think the vests are the same way. They maintain the right temperature all the time. And I believe the pad can be recharged by putting it in a cooler with ice. So if you're on the road, you can do it that way. If you're home, you can put it in your refrigerator. But just remember that dogs can die from heat stroke. Be very, very careful when it gets hot out there, folks. They're very susceptible to the heat. So keep them cool.
Well, we could use that as a segue.
Okay. We do it all the time.
We do it all the time. So, you know, heat, summer heat.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Boom. So summer's here, and dogs can get dehydrated.
Absolutely.
They're wearing fur coats 24/7.
Think about that, people. Fur coats 24/7.
And as we were talking about with the vests and the cooling pads, the dogs cool off through panting. I think most people realize that. But by putting they also expel heat through their stomachs and through their pads of their paws. So that's where the other things we're talking about helps, because those vests have a cooling pack right on the bellies.
Absolutely.
And for those of you listening, I was actually doing hand gestures to Dee when that was happening, and she looked at me again like I'm out of my mind.
Yes, this is audio. It has no video.
It has no video. All right. Can't help it. Talk with my hands.
Don't we all.
So back to pet dehydration.
Right.
So again, with dogs pant, if their mouth is too dry, they can't expel any heat.
Oh, man.
So you have to watch that. And especially so, like with the drooly dogs, with the noose and the bigger ones, like
St. Bernards,
any of those, if they stop drooling, that's a sign that their mouth's too dry.
Oh, that's brilliant. I had never even thought of that.
Yep. And so you need to watch that. You know, with the temperatures, if it's 70 outside, that's still hot for the dog. So make sure that if they seem to be panting and they're not cooling down, you're getting them some water, etc. Now, other ways to test. So if you're in a more extreme condition, you can take and on the top of their head, if you kind of grab their skin and ball it into a little ball, if it releases very quickly, it's still elastic, then they're still dehydrated. If it's very slow to relax, then they're dehydrated. That's another testing mechanism.
Okay, so if it's still elastic, I just want to reiterate here. If it's elastic, they are hydrated.
They're still okay.
If it's not elastic, they are dehydrated.
They are, reaching severe dehydration at that point, because the skin is the next testing point. If you just ball it up, and I wish you guys could see this, but...
Yes, he's doing this.
I'm doing the hand signals again. But if you just take your fingers, put it on the dog's head, and kind of pull the skin up, if it releases very quickly, a second or so, then that's fairly normal.
Right.
If it's very slow...
To release.
There's not enough liquid in the dog.
Oh, man. Because I always knew you could do that, but I didn't know how to do it. And now we know.
And that's an easy test. You can do it, no problem. The dog, you know, they don't care.
What are you doing to my head, Dad?
Right. And then if you've gone past that stage, which is the very severe stages of dehydration, a dog can kill the dog, obviously.
Right.
And I just actually read a story the other day where people locked six dogs in their cars. They came back, all were dead.
You haven't said this in a while, so I'm saying it.
You can't fix stupid.
I'm going off for just a second. How could anybody not know how hot it gets inside of a car in the summertime, even if it is only 70 degrees? You can kill a child, you can kill a dog if you leave them in a closed car in the summertime. Do not do it.
Right. I don't get it. To me, it just seems like common sense.
Yep. However.
Apparently, yes. Apparently.
Okay. Sorry.
Stupid runs rampant. So when it reaches the symptoms for severe dehydration are weakness. The dog is noticeably not being able to stand or steady itself. Trembling. Sunken eyes. At this point, if you see this in your dog, this is a life-threatening situation. You need to get them to the vet. You may be able to get them to drink. You may not.
Mm-hmm.
Get them to the vet. They need an IV.
Yep.
That, at that point, it's severe. Mm-hmm. And they could easily have kidneys shutting down, vital organs just going boom, and they're done. So
think about it. That's what happened to those dogs in the car.
Right. Yeah, they baked.
Yep, they did.
They baked.
So people remember this. You know, if you are going out shopping, how many times have I heard this? And it's a hot day, you take the dog, I'm going to only be in there a minute or 5 minutes or whatever. No, don't do it. Leave the dogs at home where they're safe. Do not take your dogs out and leave them in the car in the summertime. Just don't do it.
Yep.
It's not safe.
It's not safe. It's a bad idea.
And remember, if y'all are hikers, you know, if you love the outdoors, it's great to take your dog with you, but make absolutely sure that you have enough water for the dog with the stuff that you carry on the trail.
Right, and exactly. And the dog can carry their own either in a saddlebag or Camelback makes their own hydration pack for dogs.
Yep.
So lots of options.
Mm-hmm.
Really important. They need a lot of water.
Absolutely, they do. And one of the things that you can encourage. You'll see a dog who's hot, who is familiar with how to cool off, but a lot of them will do it anyway. If they see a mud, just even if there's not much water in it, if they see mud, they'll go lay belly down in it, and it cools them off. So the cool thing is if they're off leash, they're going to find options if they're there, but it's your responsibility to keep them safe and keep them cool and hydrated.
Exactly. Don't count on them finding it.
No.
So you're responsible.
All right, what else are we doing?
Well, noise. We got 4th of July coming up.
Oh, yikes.
Can I take my pets to the 4th of July fireworks display?
Well, you might do that, but I'd probably have to hurt you. Here in the States, we're getting very close to the 4th of July. And everywhere in this country, probably 24 hours before and through the 4th of July, people are setting off fireworks, not only the big displays, but in their yards and neighborhoods and that sort of thing. And they're very loud. Fireworks are very loud, and they can totally freak out a dog. If you're listening to this going, oh yeah, I know, my dog is freaked out by them, it's too late for your dog. That they have developed a fear issue. If they cower, if they go for hide under the bed, whatever they're doing, that is a done deal. You can probably do some behavior modification if you want to with a behaviorist, but probably too late for your dog. For those of you who are considering taking your dog to the fireworks this year, your dog needs, prior to the fireworks, to be introduced to really loud noises. And the only thing even remotely comparable, not the same, but comparable, I always take my puppies to a sporting clays range where folks are shooting lots of shotguns, and I introduce them to that loud noise gradually. I drive in, say with a 3-month-old puppy in my car. Windows are up. We get to the parking lot. I'm watching the dog. I put the windows down. And I always go on a weekend because that can mean, depending on the range, there might be 100 people out there shooting shotguns. And see if my dog responds to the noise when the windows go down. If not, we get out of the car and we gradually start walking toward the sounds of the shotgun shooting. That way, what has happened in my life is my dogs have never been afraid of loud noises. We end up walking around the course so they get very close to these shotguns going off, and it's worked very well for me. I would never take a dog to their first loud event on the 4th of July. I think you are taking the chance that that dog might just completely freak out, try to bolt, try to leave you because it scares them to death.
Yeah.
It's just not a smart thing to do. And if your dog is afraid of this, we're going to have to cut some stuff because I'm just going. Okay. Cut. Okay, what I recommend is stay at home if you can with your dog, and if they're, you know, there are going to be fireworks in your neighborhood, play with your dog when they start going off. You know, just make it a happy experience for your dog. Again, if they don't have fear of noise, make sure they don't. And what you can do, if you want, let's say the neighbor next to you is having is setting off fireworks, maybe have your dog unleash in the house and open a window or open a sliding glass door so they can hear more of the noise, see how they respond to it, do it gradually. If they don't care, if it's not bothering them at all, if they're ignoring the noise, if they're wagging their tails and they're happy, maybe you can go out on the deck, you know, and so they hear more and more of the fireworks. That's how you approach anything like this that's brand new to a dog. You don't just drive up to this huge fireworks display and go, why is the dog whimpering, whining, and trying to get away from me? I don't understand. Well,
and honestly, the dogs don't give a crap about the fireworks anyway. They don't look up. They're not going to see them. They don't care.
It's not fun
there's,
for them.
There's no ooh-ahs.
No.
So I just leave mine at home.
Well, yeah. And for those of you who have service dogs, and let's say you have young ones, and so these dogs ultimately are going to be going everywhere with you in your life, please try to acclimate them prior to taking them to a 4th of July celebration to loud noise.
Yep.
Really important. Or get them mutt muffs.
There you go. That's actually an excellent
idea. Hey, that's
idea.
A really cool idea.
Yeah.
Woo.
<You're>
okay, that's my
again.
Idea for the day. I'm done.
All right. Well, I think we're out of here. That's a wrap.
Cool.
All right. See you, folks.